I had the opportunity from 2010 to 2020 to, and there might have been a pattern here, Larry, first to do an interim at Bethel Baptist Church in South Haven, Michigan, and then to become the pastor there. And along the way, I met Larry and Judy Heinig, who I have come to love and appreciate greatly. Larry, he can tell you more of this, but he has done about every job within the Gideon ministry that can be done, from being a regional president to, I think now is you're just a director, area director. But Larry loves the Lord. Larry loves the scriptures. And I was reminding him as he comes that years ago, back in Congrove 1.0, we would have the Gideons come every Memorial Day weekend. It was a gentleman named Don Boink, and he was a retired teacher, I think, in Spring Lake. And I had such confidence in Don that I would go on vacation that weekend. And you understand from a pastor's standpoint, the ability to be able to do that is a wonderful thing. I do that as well with Larry. Larry, welcome, and share what God has laid on your heart.
It was not weeks of meetings or hours of counseling that rid me of my addictions. It was the words in that little book. Those are the words of Leroy Kennedy. The words that he spoke immediately after a meeting with a Gideon in the City Park in Battle Creek, Michigan, and for many years after that, until a year ago when he went to be with the Lord, Leroy never missed an opportunity to travel across the United States and talk to Gideon gatherings and thank them for what they did for him in giving him one of these little books, he called them. Leroy understood what I'm sure you understand also, and is written in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And then Paul adds, to the Jew first, and then to the rest of the world. It's a big job that you and I have, fulfilling the Great Commission, the people around us, and the people around the world. I'm Larry. I'm one. My wife Judy, sitting in the third row back here, also wearing pink if she needs identification. We are only two of over 280,000 men and women around the world that are members of Gideon's International. Our sole purpose is to spread the gospel and lead men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We do it through personal witnessing, as I've just illustrated for you in the life of Leroy Kennedy, but we're probably best known for these Bibles, the ones that we place in hotels and motels. And we still do that. You may have been in one recently and didn't find a Bible there, and that happens. There are some chains that don't. We had a brand new hotel built down in South Haven, where I'm from. We weren't able to put Bibles in there. That same chain, however, built a new hotel over in Kalamazoo, and they called our headquarters in Nashville and asked us if we would send Bibles to them. So we used that to leverage a couple of other motels that weren't accepting them, and they now have Bibles too. So where man changes closed doors on us, God opens others. And we step through those as quickly as we can. In the last 5 years, we've averaged about 85 million copies of God's Word a year around the world. We started distributing Bibles in 1908. Prior to that, it was the Gideons, just helping to work with men who were in travel status and needed support in their daily life. But in 1908, we decided that we were going to put Bibles in all the hotels. We didn't know how we were going to do that. We didn't have the resources to buy that many Bibles, but the churches stepped forward and helped us with that. And we've been partners with the local church, just like Robinson, ever since that time. Our scripture distribution, of course, is based on Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. Motels and hotels are where we're best known. David checked into a hotel up in Big Rapids, Michigan a few years ago. But he wasn't looking for a good night's sleep. He was looking for a place to kill himself. His business had failed. He was estranged from his wife and kids. He couldn't see any other way out but to do that. He sat down on the edge of the bed, laid his handgun beside him, and was contemplating what he was about to do. He thought, maybe I better leave a note. So he opened the drawer beside the bed, reached in to get a pad of paper and a pen. That isn't what he got a hold of. It was one of these Bibles placed there by the Gideons. David had gone to Sunday school. His grandmother took him when he was a kid. He remembered one thing from that Bible, John 3:16. He managed to find that verse that night, and he read it while he started to read it. He read, "For God so loved the world," and he stopped. And he said, "God, if you love the world, you must love me." I'm happy to report that David now attends church at a small independent church outside of Big Rapids. He's reconnected with his family, and they serve the Lord every day from that church. God is good. We also distribute Bibles to police and firemen. We always have done that since we've been distributing Bibles, but we really increased the amount of calling we were doing on their facilities during COVID, when everybody else, we also realized that first responders were important in this country. And so we would call on them, pray with them, thank them for what they were doing, and offer them a copy of God's word. One of the lessons that I learned soon after joining the Gideons is that God is good. When man steps in his way, he finds another way for us. We used to go into high schools and junior highs and have an assembly, or go into the classrooms and talk to the students and pass these out. We don't do that in this country anymore. We do in Russia, but we don't here. A sad thing. But God is good. You know where those same students are in the summertime? They're at the county fairs. They're at the festivals. Where I am down in Van Buren County, we have a blueberry festival. We have an apple festival. We have a strawberry festival. And just across the border, they have a peach festival. And that's where we meet the teenagers now. As a matter of fact, of the 85 million scriptures we pass out every year, about 60% of those go to young people. So we really concentrate on that. That's where this country's and this world's future is. We have another procedure that we came up with. That's a Bible. That's the book of John. Doesn't look like a Bible, intentionally. You look inside of it, there are no chapter headings, there are no verses, but it's the book of John written, printed in paragraph form, with margin notes, outlines, underlines, circled parts. We print these. We have a warehouse that has them in, and churches with youth groups that want to train their youth in doing personal evangelism can order these at no charge, furnished by the Gideons. And there's a little training module if you want to use that to train the teens. And where we can't go to a school, they have to be there. And with this type of Bible that's quite attractive to school age, they can learn to evangelize their classmates, share the gospel with them, get them to know Christ. All those things that we as adults do, and sometimes quite comfortably, they can learn to do it at their age. Another place that doors were closed when I was living up in Lansing, we had a military induction center, and we could go into that military induction center whenever they had a class coming through, and we could explain that we were from the Gideons and why we were there, and that the commander of U.S. forces wanted them to have a testament and wanted them to keep that testament with them at all times and pass them out. And the times that I was able to visit, I don't think I ever saw anyone refuse to take it. These are young people that are facing who knows what. They're frightened. They're concerned about what may be happening or what they may even see coming up. They want some comfort. But along comes this four-letter organization that threatens the Defense Department with lawsuits. And so the letter comes down to the manager of the induction centers that says, from now on, there will be no non-government organizations in the induction centers. So what can the Gideons do? Of course, we obeyed. But the induction center manager in Lansing came to us and said, if you get me the Bibles, I'll see that they get handed out to the inductees. And that was still occurring when I left Lansing and moved to the west side of the state. So, in fact, we have these in camouflage covers, just to interest for distribution. It's interesting, we print them in green and orange, and the pastor was just asking if I had any new colors for him, because he has an inventory of most of those that we have. And I didn't have anything new. But the camouflage, there are Marines, Navy, Air Force, and Army camouflage colors, but inside they're the same Bible. The same text, the same helps in the front, the same plan of salvation in the back. They do that so they know where we're giving out Bibles and who we're giving them to. We don't care. We just have, at County Fair, we'll have a table of every color Bible we have and tell the kids to pick whichever one you like. The important thing is that they get somebody's hands and they get read.
That's right.
Once they graduate from high school, they go to college. We pass out Bibles. We get on nearly every campus in the state of Michigan, right from the University of Michigan, the biggest ones, down to local community colleges. Sometimes there's difficulties, but I don't think that we've been totally shut out anywhere. I've been on Michigan State's campus, because I lived in Lansing. I've been on others. Sometimes, most of the time, the students are pretty courteous. They will take one, or they'll say, no thanks, I have the one you gave me last year. The most negative comments I've heard come from professors, not students. Right here in Grand Valley State, I talked with one of our members about 6 months ago. He told me that they run about 800 scriptures a year, the students at Grand Valley. And of course, they see a lot of students year after year that probably don't take one a second or a third time. But if they want to, they can. We have, he told me that he had a group of students come up all at one time as they were walking down the sidewalk going to their next class, and a group of them were there, and so he was busily getting them out of his box and handing them to them. And one young man kind of stood to the back and let other people get in front of him and get theirs. He kind of wondered about that, but when he got finished with the whole group, then that young man came forward, and he said, "I wanted to talk to you, so I let everybody get ahead of me." He said, "You gave me a Bible a year ago." And he said, "I wanted to thank you for that." He said, "It was my freshman year. It was difficult to adjust to college life. The studies were hard. I wasn't doing well." He said, "I felt really being challenged about my Christian faith." He said, "But you gave me that Bible." And he said, I took it back to my dorm room and I started to read it. He said, "I read it every night all year before I went to bed." He said, "It really got me out of a hard spot. Thank you for what you're doing." And he wanted to come back another year. He actually looked around campus to see if Jim was there that year also, so he could talk to him. Those kind of reports, sometimes they come through Nashville. We don't know who they are, but they're a great story. But when they come directly from somebody that you know you've dealt with, encourage you. You're ready to go back next year. Our wives have their role. We started out as an organization to support businessmen, but we learned within the first 3 years that we could reach the businessmen and help them more if their wives were involved. So we have what we call the Auxiliary of Gideon's International, and our wives join and work with us. Most of the distributions that I've told you about, they go with us and assist. But they have their own areas too. Hospitals, doctor's offices, clinics. In the doctor's offices, we have white ones that we pass out to the nurses, that they pass out to the nurses, I should say. And we put the hotel Bibles in the waiting areas at doctor's offices and hospitals. We go along and help them with that, carry the boxes and drive and that kind of thing. So we don't send them out on their own. But we could. It's a big job, as I mentioned earlier, because there are a lot of people out there in this world, even today, that have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a responsibility. We have a direct order from the Lord to be out there doing that. So if you're a business or professional person, you might qualify for being with the Gideons. And if you see that as a way to fulfill your part of the Great Commission, talk to me afterwards, and we'll talk about membership requirements. I need to warn you that he will have something to say about that. We have spiritual requirements to be in, and I don't know you, but he does. So every man who joins the Gideons has a pastor who has recommended him to be there. That's part of our partnership with the churches. Also, you can pray for us. We need prayer. We're an aging organization. For some of us, it's getting to be difficult to carry a box of testaments around. Pray for us as we do these distributions. We see doors closing. We see places we would like to be that we're not able to be there. And pray for open doors. And, of course, pray for anyone that we hand a Bible to, that they'll read it and that they will follow the leading of the Lord. You've supported us in the past. Sometimes we take offerings and sometimes we come out of the church budget, but other times we don't. We just spread the word of what we're doing and ask for prayer support, and that's the primary thing that we need. But It's been a privilege for Judy and I to be here with you today. And Pastor, I thank you for your time. And we will be around to talk with you afterwards about membership or any other questions that you might have. As Pastor mentioned, I have been around the Gideons for a few years and held several positions up to the state cabinet level. And so hopefully I could answer any question you have, and if not, I know where to find an answer. So thank you again.
Thank you, Larry. Before you sit down, we're gonna read out of the scripture. So in honor of God's word, I will ask the rest of you, if you would, to stand. We are going to be reading out of 2 Timothy, reading chapter 3 in its entirety. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes' and Jambres' folly was also. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Please remain standing as we sing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." seated.
It's a good news, bad news situation for you. The good news is you're not going to get a sermon. The bad news is you're going to get some application. No, I wanted to share with you briefly two things I think are important to know about Larry. One of them is that he is a retired civil engineer. And didn't you notice and appreciate the fact that he is very civil? And how long did you do that?
50 years.
And then he needed something to do besides the Gideons. He signed up to, the only thing worse than being a pastor is being a referee for soccer. And did that for a number of years. And Larry, the third thing you should know is I think Larry is one of the only people who can outdrink me in coffee. I think you were a 20-cupper at one point, weren't you? 24 cups a day. Yeah, yeah. A goal that I tried to reach. I made it half. And so when I tell you there are people that are drinking north of 20 cups, believe me. Anyway, take your Bibles just for a second. If you need somewhere to land, the place to land would not be 2 Timothy 3, it would be 2 Timothy 4. I have a couple of applications, and I have probably the shortest PowerPoint I've ever had. I think it's like 3 slides. And I really do not want to, this is not me having to preach. This is not me trying to improve what Larry has done. I love the Gideons, folks, because they do two things I like. They pass out Bibles, and they tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it doesn't get much better than that. And I've happened to know, over the years, a couple of great Gideons. I'm sure you can find some subpar ones, as you can find some subpar pastors, but we'll leave that go. So what I have for you will involve your hand and the 5 fingers that are on it, so I hope you can find that hand, one or the other, left or right, it doesn't matter. Clearly, the stakes could not have been higher. In the midst of a church grasping for church organization and growing in numbers, but a church that was increasingly becoming more formalized and maybe less in touch with the most central need of people, that a 3rd century early church father named Jerome found himself intrigued by nothing more than the narrative of Philip's work with the Ethiopian eunuch. Jerome, the elder, writes, "Then Philip came and showed him Jesus hidden in the letter. What a marvelous teacher! In the same hour, the eunuch believed and was baptized. He became one of the faithful. From being a pupil, he became a master. And he found more in the desert spring of the church than he had done in the gilded temple of the synagogue." The big thing here for me, folks, is that even a casual reading of the New Testament suggests an urgency of God's people for the souls of those who have not seen a page of God's Word or heard a sentence of hope from the gospel. And we think that those people exist outside the bounds of this country. I'm here to tell you, folks, I ran into those kind of people in Holland, Michigan at Lakeshore Pregnancy Center who had never heard the gospel. How can that be? The world lives increasingly in a degenerative state, stuck in the quagmire of its own sin. If we are truly living in the last days, it becomes imperative that we employ a strategy to see God's word disseminated and distributed to those who need it most. In the seasons following the Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards, who had early in his career regularly preached to 500 people in Northbridge on any given Sunday, a man who had composed great theological treatises on the nature of God's redemption, now found himself dismissed from his earlier charge and committed to a local tribe of Native Americans, where he found himself weekly sharing the most valuable truth most needed for a gospel witness. A matter of readiness and rightness, winsomeness and wisdom, sharing what we possess to those who are lacking. So let me see in this application if I can give you a fairly easily remembered five-finger support for what we can provide the Gideons, our church, and the culture. Five words and a lot of scriptures, which I have left in the back, about 10 copies, that you can track for yourself, but I think this is a wonderful way to support the Gideons, and it's as close as your right hand, or if you're less than human, I'm sorry, that sounded bad, left-handed. Number one, we pray for opportunities amidst the dailies that take place in our lives. All of us live with a certain amount of what I call the dailies, those daily struggles that come upon us. The first way you can help the Gideons is to pray for opportunities amidst the dailies that take place in all of our lives, theirs included. We move and we live and we work surrounded by the challenges that come from working with people. And every day we must pray. Pray that we might open our mouths. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20, Paul writes, "And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We pray that if they threaten us, we may also speak." Acts 4, 29 and 30, Luke writes, "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend the hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." Praying, thirdly, for an open door or window, even a crack by which we might speak. Praying, Colossians 4 says, "At the same time for us as well, that God will open up for us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ." So I think it fits really well that Larry says when one avenue is shut down, they look for another. And by the way, I want 50 copies of that unmarked set of scriptures you had. I got places that we can give those. And lastly, we pray that God, in fact, might generate momentum. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, pray that for us the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified just as it also has been with you." There's nothing better, folks, than momentum. There's nothing better than watching God begin to do a work and see it explode. First of all, we pray for opportunities amidst the dailies. Secondly, we persevere through all that God brings in our lives. Every day, every encounter, watching God build in us greater truth and grace, more like the Master, a life less given to waste. For 2 Peter 1, 5 and 6, "Now for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control." And in your self-control, Peter writes, perseverance. We persevere through hardship, 2 Timothy 4, 5. "But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Larry mentioned some of the challenges facing the deacons, like other, or the Gideons, sorry, facing the deacons too, probably. Like many other organizations, their numbers are growing fewer and their ages are going up. You know, And I've said this to you before, the challenge of this generation is fewer and fewer people are being born, fewer and fewer people are going into ministry, and fewer young people or even middle-aged people see the Gideons as a viable ministry where somebody who is an entrepreneur or a business person can make a difference in their realm. So the challenges are there. How old are you, Larry? 86, and he's still coming to meetings like this. I have a friend who took a big church in Holland. He's all of 40. And after about 2.5-3 years, he said, I can't do this anymore. This is just too hard. We pray. We persevere through hardship. We press through the difficulties and towards the growth of Christ in us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And by the way, we have a table full of scriptures. They're not Gideon Bibles, but we have a table full of scriptures that you can take to give to somebody who needs one, who wants a Bible and doesn't have one. Thirdly, third finger, whichever way you want to go. We practice, and we practice our pursuit of God. We are not done until God calls us home or he comes for us in the rapture. We are not done. We are at work practicing our lives, attempting to bring ourselves and through Christ in a matter of completeness. 2 Peter 1:10, it's consistency. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing for you. For as long as you practice these things, the Christian life, among other things, needs practice. I am not the same guy that I was at 18. I am not the same guy that I was at 40. I am not the same guy as I was last year, because God is at work in me and in you, carving out a likeness of himself. And if you don't give yourself over to the discipline of practice, you'll be one of those Christians who are stuck in what I call a repeating loop of emotional distraction and lack of focus. We pray, we persevere, we practice. Fourth finger, we persuade. With the awesome fear of the Lord enveloping us and recognizing the weight of our words, we work to persuade men and women of the truth God holds them accountable for knowing. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, I love this, knowing the fear of the Lord. In other words, I stand here with the fear of God around me. It's not a bad thing. I recognize his calling. I recognize my responsibility. I recognize his desire to be glorified. And I put that all in, and it causes me then to be encouraged that I have a responsibility to persuade men and women and young people and college students and military guys and gals about the claims of the gospel. And I am to be ready at any moment. Here's where we often drop the ball, by the way. We dump the entire truck, the four spiritual laws, the Romans Road, and anything else we can think of, and then we just let it go. A gentle defense full of careful thought and biblical content that is sufficient to render conviction. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense. The word is the word for apology, a defense, a thoughtful argument to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. We pray, we persevere, we practice, we persuade. Aren't you glad I don't have 10 fingers? I should have. We preach. Sometimes our preaching means pointing out the obvious. Sometimes our sermons are those wise counsels that point out error and steer towards right direction. Listen to me. Knowing how to deliver the goods will require a sensitive spirit, the knowledge of Scripture, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, 1 Timothy 4, but the Spirit explicitly says in the later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience. As with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God in prayer. And then Paul says this, in pointing these things out to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. And then there's the good counsel at work that we read this morning, 2 Timothy 3:10. Now you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, and my perseverance. Paul says, in essence, follow my lead, remember your training, and rely on the Scriptures, because they are God's breathing out of truth. And they are sufficient for your life. End of story. Lastly, where you are right now, and I'll close with this. 2 Timothy 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. I know you know it well, but land on each word, please. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. There's a lot there. It isn't just a blaring. It isn't just noise. It's a careful, thought-out presentation. For the time, verse 3, will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. No, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. You can find, by the way, you can find a preacher who will tell you anything you want to hear. But you will not find as easily someone who tells you what you need to hear. Somebody who's cranky and old, who forgets things, but cares about you and loves you. And will turn away, verse 4, their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to miss, but you. And I should add here that Paul, on a number of occasions through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, has kind of stopped his presentation at several times, and almost like that crooked old finger that scholars say that Paul had. He wasn't very, he had a big nose and crooked fingers, and he wasn't very much to look at. But I can almost imagine him, getting up from his text and pointing to an imaginary Timothy who was the recipient of this letter and saying, but you. I'm talking primarily to younger folks who will take the gospel forward. You, I'm talking to you, beware of what's out there and prepare yourself with a reasonable, thoughtful, wise defense of the gospel. Please, be sober in all things, verse 5, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, not all of us are called to be evangelists. But as Larry has correctly noted, we are all called to evangelize, to announce, to declare the truth. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And we know what's awaiting him. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also those who have loved his appearing. I close with this. Preach the truth. Do it today. Do it tomorrow. Do it at every opening. Do it well, be respectful, but dutiful. Be decisive, but authentic. Be patient. Now that's one for you. But not inconsistent. And by all means, have something worth saying. Have something worth saying. Let's bow together. We pray, we practice, we persevere, we persuade, and we preach, we announce. I am so grateful for Larry and for the other Gideons I've known over the course of my ministry, retired school teachers and business people, and who all put aside some of their free time for the defense of the gospel, for the sharing of the truth. They're not all theologians. They're not all pastors. They're not all skilled deeply in the techniques of oration and exposition. They just love the Lord Jesus. Just love him and believe in his word and believe that it has the power to change lives. I commend Larry's ministry and the thousands who have come before him. I commend it to you, whether you ever become a Gideon or not. This may be a fork in your little road of how you'll spend your time and who you'll give that time to. This is not about building your own kingdom. It's not about building your own successful retirement. It's not about building a world where you're always the center of attention. It's about sharing the truth. And being confident of this one thing, he who has begun a good work in you will finish it and bring it to the day of completion. Father, we have heard your word, and we have heard of both the challenges and the joys of such a ministry that we have focused on today. I pray, Father, for Larry and the person who will follow him. I pray for the ministry that it will continue to retain, Father, its twofold desire of the gospel, and of sharing it. And then, Father, I pray that you will commend to us a burden of finding a way, as my professor used to say, finding a way to get it across to those who need it most. Unsettle us, Father, until we are right with you, and we'll thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray.
I'll ask you, if you would, to stand. We often sing a hymn of reflection. This is a hymn of resolve. The Bible stands. 292 in your hymnals. The Bible stands singing the first verse. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
That was really good. I almost would say we could sing that again, but it's all right. Aren't you glad you didn't get a sermon today? Yeah. I want to introduce Alan and Emily Van Dyke right here, right? And we are trying to intentionally make sure we don't miss visitors. So as soon as you fill one of these out, if you're visiting, they run it up to me. Or that's the plan. And we want certainly to welcome you. I trust that you'll have a chance to meet them. He's wearing a very cool shirt. But anyway, and you're wearing a very nice color. I have to be fair here. Right? In deep kimchi, if I know. All right, let's bow together. Father, thank you for this focus on the scriptures today. It is the one transformative tool in our life kit that whether we go into the military, to college, to the trades, or a supermarket, we need its truth. Dismiss us now with your blessing, and I pray, Father, that you'll continue to bless this ministry, this Gideon ministry, until you come. And make all of our work no longer necessary. In the wonderful and the strong name of our Savior, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.